ABC Radio Australia.
Pacific leaders are unhappy after what was supposed to be a landmark deal to cut global shipping emissions has now been left in tatters. Back in April, the members of the International Maritime Organization agreed to place a small levy on the shipping industry's carbon emissions. But supporters have accused the United States government of intimidating members at a meeting in London to approve the plan, and it's now on hold for a year. Vanuatu's Minister for Climate Change Adaptation, Ralph Regenvanu, says it's a disappointing outcome.
Well, it's very sad, actually. I mean, this process has taken years. The Pacific has been at the forefront of efforts to push this industry-wide measure, which would have been the first ever industry-wide measure to address global greenhouse gas emissions from a particular sector, in this case, shipping. And, we were expecting it to be passed at this session that just gone last week. But unfortunately, the US government in particular mounted a very strong campaign threatening countries not to adopt it.
You've said before that the deal already wasn't strong enough to align with the 1.5 degree target. How does this latest setback affect that goal for small island nations like Vanuatu?
Well, earlier at the beginning of this year, we made the point that the measure being proposed, the IMO, was totally inadequate to address and meet the 1.5 goal, but also the financing goal that the Pacific had originally proposed. But nevertheless, any sort of measure industry-wide could have been worked on and improved. And so we were very much coming from a position of already being compromised, but still coming to support a step in the right direction. So the fact that this step in the right direction didn't even happen is a very grim reflection on the current state of multilateralism. And so not seeing this measure go through is unfortunately seems like a trend in the last 24 months, or at least since Trump took power, of all climate commitments being rolled back across the world.
The shipping levy was expected to generate climate finance revenue that could help vulnerable countries. What does its collapse mean for funding adaptation and loss and damage efforts in the Pacific?
There's already a huge climate finance gap. What countries promised to do, what the UNFCCC, the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, states should happen, what is agreed in Paris, there's a huge billions and billions of dollars in a gap between what's required and what's been put up.
Vanuatu has been leading global and diplomatic efforts, including the ICJ climate advisory opinion. How does the shipping deal episode reinforce your push for stronger international accountability?
It didn't really reinforce our push. It sort of showed how far we are from international cooperation in a way that complies with international law on issues of climate change. So I think for us, it just reinforces now that we need to start talking about the rules of how we engage in these spaces as states. How do we meet in these forums to make decisions? How are decisions made? Because in the IMO, for example, what happened last week, we came from the Pacific expecting there to be a level playing field where science and legal accountability are given equal hearing to issues of economic achievement and so on. But what we found was that it was very difficult to operate in this environment where single states or groups of states can block a majority from making a decision. And we've seen this in the COPs year after year, the UNFCCC COPs. We saw it with the Plastics Treaty. We've just seen it again with the IMO. And so something's got to change in terms of the rules of how we engage in this space as states.
Given this setback, do you think the Pacific needs to look at alternative strategies, perhaps regional shipping reforms or carbon pricing that don't rely on a global consensus?
Well, we are already. We are doing work on regional shipping. We are working on regional solutions. Our leaders just launched the Pacific Resilience Facility in Solomon Islands at the Pacific Island Leaders Forum Leaders Summit in September last month. There are all sorts of regional efforts going on. We're also engaged in a number of other international efforts, like the push for a fossil fuel non-proliferation treaty. We're engaging in the Powering Past Coalition, the Beyond Oil and Gas Alliance, numerous other international groupings of states that want to make a change, that are willing to engage in this pathway of actually dealing with this crisis we're facing. And also in the region, of course, we are doing all efforts we can to engage regionally. So yeah, that stuff is ongoing. We're not waiting for the big organizations like IMO or so on to shift, but of course they also have to shift. We can't do it simply at the regional level.
What message would you like to send to the United States and others who have stalled this deal, especially as Pacific nations continue to face rising seas and intensifying climate impacts?
Well, it's the message I've stated previously is that climate change is affecting the United States of America. We've just seen the massive flooding in Alaska, the massive evacuations. Earlier this year, we saw the floods in Texas, the loss of lives, and we just continue to see all of these climate effects affecting all nations in the world, including the US. And so we are simply making the call on behalf of us all, and whether you like it or not, whether you think it's real or not, it's coming for you. And the sooner we get to a global solution, the sooner we can start to avert the worst possible effects of climate change.